Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
U.S. stocks rally after a punishing third quarter, and a shortage of Boeing and Airbus jets adds to the airline industry's woes.
Really, what the industry is trying to do now is really rapidly recover their operations to meet this surge in demand that really has been quite a lot higher than any of the airlines or the airports, maybe even the manufacturers, had anticipated.
Plus, Alaska's fattest bear champion seeks to defend his title. It's Monday, October 3rd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. U.S. stocks rallied on the first day of the fourth quarter, with all three major indexes posting big gains. The Dow added more than 750 points, or 2.7%. The S&P 500 was up 2.6%, and the Nasdaq gained 2.3%. Our markets reporter Vicky Huang has more.
According to the analysts and investors I've talked to today, a lot of it has to do with seller exhaustion, meaning that stocks have fallen three quarters in a row and major indexes really sustained deep losses in the past 9 months.
Vicky says investors also had their eyes on new economic data, including two surveys of purchasing managers that show a slowdown in U.S. manufacturing.
This is actually one of those environments where bad news is good news for the markets, because that could potentially mean that the Federal Reserve has been successful in raising interest rates to slow down economic activity. And that also could mean that the Fed could eventually pivot to slow down their pace of interest rate increases, or even eventually cut interest rates potentially next year.
The United Nations today called on the Federal Reserve and other central banks to stop raising interest rates, warning that further policy tightening could push the world economy into a recession. Global central banks have been raising rates to try to tame soaring inflation, but the UN warns that raising borrowing costs could cause damage to developing nations. The Fed has made 5 interest rate hikes so far this year. The European Central Bank and the Bank of England are also raising rates more rapidly than they have in decades. The damage wrought by Hurricane Ian is still being assessed in Florida and the Carolinas. At least 64 people were killed in the storm, and officials warn the number could rise. Thousands are still without power in Florida, and search teams are going door to door in case rescues are needed. President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden plan to visit the state on Wednesday. The two visited Puerto Rico today to pledge support during its recovery from Hurricane Fiona. The storm, which hit last month, brought heavy damage and power outages to the U.S. territory. More than 100,000 people there remain without power. Biden spoke at a press conference this afternoon.
We came here in person to show that we're with you. All of America is with you as you receive and recover and rebuild.
During the visit, Biden said Congress had approved billions of dollars to support Puerto Rico's recovery after Hurricane Maria back in 2017, but that some of the funding still hasn't arrived.
We're going to make sure you get every single dollar promised. And I'm determined to help Puerto Rico build faster than in the past and stronger and better prepared for the future.
We report exclusively that London Heathrow Airport will be dropping its cap on passengers later this month. The airport had limited the number of passengers to 100,000 a day in July, telling airlines to cancel bookings as it tried to handle a surge in demand and a shortage of staff. People briefed on the matter say airlines have been informed that the cap won't extend past October 29th. It's been a turbulent time for the aviation industry. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll talk about another challenge, a shortage of new jets. And Kim Kardashian, the reality TV star and entrepreneur, will pay $1.25 million to settle allegations that she failed to disclose money she was paid for promoting a cryptocurrency company to investors. The Securities and Exchange Commission says she agreed to give back $250,000 she was paid to promote Emacs tokens on her Instagram account and pay a $1 million penalty. Kardashian agreed to settle the claims without admitting or denying wrongdoing. Coming up, airlines have been struggling as travel demand picks up. Among the challenges, a shortage of jets from Boeing and Airbus. More on that after the break.
ADP knows anything you hear. Anything you don't hear. Anything you kinda heard. Anything you weren't supposed to hear and now have to pretend like you didn't can change the world of work. From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
The airline industry has been saddled with shortages in recent months, from staff including pilots to parts for its planes. As if those challenges weren't enough, add to the list a shortage of jets from plane makers Boeing and Airbus. Industry officials and airline executives say delivery delays for the jets are adding to complications for carriers as they try to keep up with a surge in pent-up travel demand. Joining me now to explain what's behind the delays and what they mean for passengers is Wall Street Journal aviation and aerospace reporter Ben Katz. Hi, Ben. Thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So, Ben, let's start by talking about the factors behind this shortage for both Boeing and Airbus. What's happening right now?
What we're seeing really in the aerospace industry is, I guess, kind of similar to what we're seeing across manufacturing, you know, in the world, you know, this post-COVID slowness to recover. There's a shortage of engineers. There's a shortage of, you know, manufacturing capacity. You need to remember that, you know, at the outset of the pandemic, Airbus and Boeing both drastically cut down their production rates. And what they're trying to do now to kind of meet this resurgence demand is try ramp up production incredibly quickly. And that's proving to be a massive challenge, as it always is in aerospace. But because typically making aircraft is quite a long project, it's particularly hard hitting. And we're seeing it across the industry. We're seeing it across a number of different components. But one that really stands out is actually the engine makers. The engine makers are really struggling to get the complexity of their equipment built in time and then shipping them and getting them delivered to the manufacturers.
Ben, in the case of Boeing, there's also been added regulatory challenges regarding its 737 MAX jets. Can you bring us up to speed on what's happening there? And are we seeing that impact the shortage right now?
So what Boeing is dealing with is, in conjunction with their efforts to kind of ramp up production, in particular of the 737 MAX, you know, which of course they had to pause production and was kept from flying for a number of years after the two deadly crashes a few years ago. What Boeing's having to deal with now is this regulatory hurdle of getting approval from the FAA for changes to its cockpits. And essentially what that means is that two of its versions of the MAX, the 737 MAX 7 and the 737 MAX 10, are both kind of under question over whether they're going to meet this end of year deadline to get certification from the FAA. If they don't get it in time, it means that Boeing will have to revisit fundamental design elements of both of those two variants of the MAX family. And it could even put in jeopardy, at least the MAX 10, Boeing has said that if they don't get the regulatory approval in time, that they may actually have to scrap that entire model and potentially lose hundreds of orders as a result. So Boeing is really trying to juggle, you know, this challenge of ramping up production with going through the very laborious project and effort of getting both of those two models certified.
And during all of this, what are we hearing from Boeing and Airbus?
Both companies say that they're working with the suppliers, they're speaking to their customers, they're trying to navigate the delays and any inconvenience or any difficulties kind of being experienced across the industry. Both of them are saying that it's a tough time to be, you know, ramping up production, to be recovering from the pandemic, to be retooling factories and to be rehiring staff. Airbus has said that their target to hit 700 deliveries this year is going to be a tough one to achieve, but they're still set that they'll be able to do it. They're also saying that next year is going to be hard as well. We're not expecting this to be something that will clear up in the next couple months. This is, I guess, kind of a new normal for the industry as we go forward over the next few years. And, you know, these plane makers get these incredibly complex machines back to the build capacity and the build rates that we saw before the pandemic hit.
Ben, we know the industry is struggling to keep up with a surge in travel demand. And as you've alluded to, the shortage of jets is part of a host of other challenges the industry is facing right now, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the shortage of jets is painful for, you know, a number of airlines. United and American both have had to adjust their schedules, cut flights, you know, as a result of just delays to their deliveries. But we're seeing, you know, other elements of the industry also really struggling to kind of ramp up to 2019 levels of operation. You know, on one hand, we're dealing with a shortage of spare parts, you know, so when aircraft fly, there's, you know, a small issue here or there, they need to go through repairs. But the actual manufacturing of those spare parts, the airlines are also kind of facing shortages around. So that's kind of holding back operations. But operationally, you know, we've seen in Europe an issue with the shortage of security guards that help ferry people through the airport, baggage handlers who help unload and offload baggage from the aircraft. We're seeing shortages in pilots, of cabin crew. You know, it's really across the entire industry. And, you know, probably make the case that aviation was, you know, one of the hardest hit by the pandemic. There were a few months where there was virtually no flying just after the outbreak of COVID-19 and its spread. And really what the industry is trying to do now is really rapidly recover their operations to meet this surge in demand that really has been quite a lot higher than any of the airlines or the airports, maybe even the manufacturers had anticipated. So it's really been a year of quite a lot of chaos for a lot of these operators. And I'm sure, you know, many of the listeners will have experienced, you know, their own struggles traveling through airports, you know, going overseas. It hasn't really been the easiest summer for the industry, but yeah, people are trying to pull it off.
Right. And it feels like we're always heading into a busy travel season. What does all of this mean for travelers? We are now looking ahead to the holiday travel season, not too far away.
So it's looking like over the last few months, we really saw the peak of these challenges and things have started to ease off a little bit now. There is kind of a question mark, you know, as we get to the, you know, the Christmas holidays, end of year holidays, you know, whether that new surge in travel could also, you know, cause delays and cancellations and lost bags and the likes that we've seen over the previous few months. But we're not sure yet. There's a question mark. Things do seem to be improving, but the industry still has quite a lot of catch up to do to get back to where it was in 2019.
That's Wall Street Journal aviation and aerospace reporter Ben Katz. Ben, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks.
And finally, Alaska's Katmai National Park is home to more than 2,000 brown bears and has the largest run of sockeye salmon left on the planet. This combination makes for bears that are really good at storing up fat for hibernation. And after a season of consuming the fattiest of fish, the bracket for Fat Bear Week, a March Madness-style competition organized in part by the National Park Service, will be announced tonight, where the most rotund and captivating bears face off for fans' affections. The frontrunner is four-time title-winning bear number 480, also known as Otis, who's become something of a celebrity. His likeness has clawed its way onto t-shirts, coffee mugs, hats, and blankets, as well as digital campaign posters as fans lobby votes from the undecided. Our reporter Angela Owen says Otis has lots of fans, but he's got competition.
He just wants to sit there and fish all day. He's just like a sweet, lovable old bear. One woman had this amazing quote that he's goal-oriented, he's focused, he's patient, which is all true. He has the most patience of probably any bear. But in the past, 747 has been some of his top competition, and 747 is just a perfectly named, like, big, wide-bodied jet of a bear. Sometimes fans also refer to him as Bear Force One. He is a huge, beautiful bear. He catches quite a few fish on his own, and he's usually just a few yards from Otis, so it's kind of fun to watch the two together.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.